Hey guys, welcome. It's your boy Wings of Redemption, and it's Painkiller Already, episode 11. You can't find us on iTunes now because we haven't discovered the problem, but you can watch it on the site. But what guest do we have today with us?
What's up, guys? This is Sandy Ravage.
Sandy Ravage. So, Sandy, have you ever commentated the video? There was one on Wasteland that might have been you. Was that you?
Nope, that was not me.
So this is the first time you've ever been heard.
Yep, correct.
Well, welcome to the internet.
Yep. So, Sandy, I got an opening topic for you. You, like me, we both have systems with Modern Warfare 2. I came from the PS3 to the Xbox. You went from Xbox to PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Main reason I don't play a lot of PS3 is I can't find anybody to play with. How do you basically judge who you play with on the PS3? Because generally, if I find a nice person with a good personality, they generally suck at the game. I've never had any luck you getting the guy with the same charisma.
Hey.
Well, I kind of have like a set of rules if you want to play with me. Like, I don't care what your kill-death ratio is. I don't even look at it. I don't care how many kills you get in the game. It's all about getting the flags. I'm mainly a domination ground war player, capture the flag, whatever. And, shooting air support and getting flags, and you're on my team. That's it. Because all it really takes is 1 to 2 people that are out there getting the kills, you know, running around the map, getting 70 kills a match. The rest have to be, you know, doing a job.
So you ever ran into a guy that was so bad that you just couldn't deal with him?
Yeah.
You ain't got to say game.
There's a lot of those. You got to be nice, you know. You play with them, but some guys really, like, are they playing with one hand or, you know, you got to wonder.
Always bring up the guy that's paraplegic. Like, dude, you got a 0.7 KD. There's a guy that can't even use his hands. He has over a 1.
Oh,
how does that make you feel?
Yeah, that guy got a nuke.
For me, what frustrates me more than guys who die a lot is guys who play wrong. You know, like, if you flip the spawn too much, look, man, you're not good because you managed to get into that building at high rise. You got there because we locked the whole team down. We have the whole team pushed in there. It doesn't make you a stud to rush into their spawn. I'm not the least bit impressed. We're all working a strategy, and you're being selfish. It's inconsiderate. And that's, you know, when we're playing a team game and locking them away from our dom flags, or we're trying to, you know, push them out of a sabotage bomb site or whatever, and you're not playing the right way, that it's not that they're bad, it's that they're selfish. And that's what frustrates me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to go over some rules with new people that I play with, like, before the match. I like to go over it. You know, if they don't follow them, I'm not going to play with them again, because I guess a lot of people just don't know how to play this game. It's weird, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, I don't like it when I'm set up shooting fish in a barrel and somebody runs in and next thing I know I'm getting shot in the back.
Yeah, you got one guy who kills 8 people on your team and gets a, you know, airdrop or something. He gets an AC-130 out of that. It ruins the whole game.
Yep. Yeah, it makes it
I wanted to ask you, all right, I'm pretty sure I've seen all your videos at this point, and because I didn't discover them until about, I'm going to say 3 weeks ago. And I love the videos, by the way. But
thank you.
For the most part, I really like the Spaz videos. Did you use the 1887s at all when those were still ridiculous?
No, I actually didn't use those. It's weird. Maybe, you know, a half an hour with them. I think I got one clip in all of my videos with them. I wish I used them, but I didn't.
I hoard them out to no end.
I have no
Every
doubt
class
you
I
did
had,
that.
It was a marathon, lightweight, you know, third perk doesn't matter with the Akimbo models. And they were so ridiculous.
Yeah, at that point, I was prestiging on the Sandy Ravage account, so I didn't, you know, I would just pass by the models and I wouldn't get, by the time I got back, it was patched.
So, that was my problem, too. I you didn't open them until 67, so I didn't get to keep them long enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'd get to 67, it would take, what is it? I think it's only 10 kills to get the Akimbo. And then you only have them for a little while. And they're not every map, at least in my hands. They were, like, ridiculous for Skid Row and maybe a couple others.
I remember getting killed by those. So.
If you're on Wasteland, then, you know, it's hard to use a shotgun, even the 1887, to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a G and you can go 97 kills on Wasteland. That's true. That's true.
I mean, we can't all be that good, though.
Yeah, we can't all be.
I'm not the best player on YouTube. Sandy, speaking of that, so I've been trying to get a Sandy Ravage game, right? And I don't need a full-fledged Sandy Ravage game. I don't need to go freaking 110-3. But if I could get myself like a nice 70-7 or something along those lines with the spaz, then I'd be psyched. I'd put it out there and I'd tell everyone how I did it. So let's cover some Sandy Ravage ground rules. Spaz, extended mags. Am I on target so far?
You know, I switch it up depending on the map. A map like High Rise would be extended mags.
I have a hard time. Can I interrupt you? So I thought High Rise, great. Nice close quarters map. It's tiny. I'll do my thing. There are so many long sights on High Rise. I felt unarmed with the spaz.
As long as you don't have the crazed teammate who runs in, you know, you got them locked at that window. They just spawn there. You got, what, 16 shots in the shotgun? You're getting
11 in front of kills like, the left windows.
Yeah, the left window.
All right.
When they get the A spawn.
So let's talk. When do you use extended and what else do you like?
I only use extended mags, grip, and silencer. Okay. Silencer's only as of late. That's if I just want to screw around.
But the silencer, that's not the beginner kit, right?
It's not good, no. It looks good in some videos. It's not consistent whatsoever.
Let's keep in mind, we're looking for the beginner kit here. So,
the most kills possible.
I think I can use.
I think Woody's danced around this question.
No, I'm not.
How
dancing.
Do you penetrate the defense?
No. I'm going for the class setup. We can work on the rest. I'm headed on this methodically here. The class setup: spaz, and then extended mags, or what else?
If I got extended mags, I'll throw on steady aim. If I got grip, like I said, it depends on the map between grip and extended mags. But if I got grip, I'm running Ninja Pro.
What is grip?
And stopping power. I don't know. I think the grip, I don't know what it does. It feels like it keeps a tighter spread.
Okay.
But
I'll test that.
I'm not positive. I don't test anything.
I will. I do.
What it feels like.
I'm a stat nerd. I'll figure that out.
Yeah.
So you
like. Stopping power is a must.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it. And I think Marathon, definitely. You need Marathon. Sleight of hand is good, but Marathon really. You gotta get in there. You can't, you know, if you're slowed down and you can't reach them, you're dead every time.
Yeah. Now, I used to never aim down sights because from the game's perspective, it doesn't make a difference. Like, it doesn't change the spread. It doesn't change the distance. Aiming down sights on these guns, unless you're running steady aim and it tightens it up a little bit, aiming down sights doesn't do anything. But the other side of it is this. Your character turns really quickly when you're not aiming down sights. And then, of course, when you do, it slows you down a bit. It's more difficult to hit the target in the center when you're hip firing. Even though the bullets are doing the same thing, your sensitivity is the equivalent of like 10 because you're hip firing, and when you aim down sights,
you gotta choose a lower sensitivity, no question about it. Because when you're hip firing, you have to be dead on target to get the kill, or else it's a hit marker.
I think it's easier to hit that guy in the middle of his chest when you're aiming down the sight. So I think I might start doing
that. It's definitely easier to do that, but I don't. From my experience, I feel like they got to be at like a medium range for the aim down sight. But I guess if you tested it, you know, this is my experience.
It doesn't.
I feel like hip fire gets the longer range kill.
I'll test it again, but I'm pretty sure the bullets do the same thing. The difference is it's just harder to hit when you're hip firing because you parry it so quickly.
I mean, if I move it to over 4 sensitivity, trying to hip fire, I'll be missing all day. I got to drop it down to 2-3.
So, the other thing, navigating the map. So that's a big deal, right? You obviously can't just run into.
You can't just blindly run it.
Yeah.
It looks like that in videos.
You watch a highlight video or something, and it's like, oh, I see what he does. He walks into a room with 5 guys and shoots.
That's
one
not
at
how
time.
It actually works at all. You know, you get killed every time doing that.
Yeah, so what are you doing here? What's your general thought? I guess you know where they are, you know where they're spawning, you're trying to.
Yeah, you know where they are because they always got the one flag. I mean, these clips are only coming when the other team, they don't try to get B. They sit on the one flag that they got, A or C.
Mm-hmm.
And most, you know, there's always at least 2 routes. You know, you'll have like 6 teammates, I'm talking ground war right now. Mm-hmm. Like 6 teammates covering one route. I'll just slip in through the back, and you got, what do you got, 8 guys in front of you facing the wrong way? It's just shooting fish in a barrel.
So you just work the edge of the map so you can flank behind.
Yeah, I go right around the whole map. If you're in the middle, you're just picked off.
Yeah. And you do that same thing with or without Silencer? Do you change the way that you play?
I'm a little more aggressive without the Silencer, because the Silencer, you got to be in their face to get the kill.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like 2 feet away. So.
Yeah, it's like commando range.
I think Commando has a greater range, possibly.
Than a Silencer has?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
It's ridiculous. I have a question. Who is that lovely young lady who did the video commentary on that one video of yours?
Ask about 10,000 people, they believe it's me, but that sadly is incorrect. Her gamer tag is Foo Fighters Girl. She's a mod in my live stream. And we played. She's just a regular that I play with.
Is Foo Fighter someone I'm supposed to know? Does he have a YouTube channel?
I think it's the band.
Oh. Really? So she's the band's girl?
I'm assuming that. I don't know.
Okay.
I think so.
Does she live anywhere near Georgia? Purple halter top.
Does she live near Georgia?
We tried to get her to wear a little bit less, but it didn't work.
Now, you guys were saying in the stream that she was going to do another one in a bikini. Am I just being
gullible? Oh, yeah, that was a little... I had a challenge set out. It was my team versus her team, 6-on-6 private match.
Mm-hmm.
And if I lost, I would have had to do a commentary on that video. And if I won, she's got to do a commentary in a bikini. Well, my team won 3-0, so stay tuned.
All right. I won't be watching that one. No.
I will as well. I'll be downloading that one.
Hey.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know what? Most of the guys, a lot of guys on YouTube complain about Modern Warfare. They have frustrations about, say, the explosives or frustrations about mm-hmm. Commando or whatever. How are you feeling about the game? You play it a lot, and because you don't talk on your videos.
I don't play it too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I played a normal amount. I think total I got 11 days played right now.
Okay.
I try to keep it to 2 to 3 days a week because, if you do play it a lot, it gets very frustrating because it's just how it is. But no matter what, I don't care what anyone says, it's the funnest game that's come out in years.
In years? So. Multiple years? That puts it over COD 4 and World at War?
Well, see, Call of Duty 4 was a better game. I think Modern Warfare 2 is a funner game. Call of Duty 4 is my favorite game of all time. I got like 300,000 kills in that game. That's why I can't go back and play it nowadays. I played the hell out of it. So
yeah, I see your point there. I agree with you there. Actually, I think Modern Warfare 2 is probably a funner game. There are moments that I have a lot of fun in Modern Warfare 2. If I get an AC-130 in, and I play 15 people with it, like
my whole game awesome. Revolves around getting an AC-130. It's easily the funnest part of Modern Warfare 2.
I agree.
Hey, there's another thing I want to talk about. So you've got just stuff wired with the AC-130. Like, I watched a video once, and you put an annotation that said, don't bother calling the AC-130 until the other team mm-hmm. only has A, and that was for Skid Row. Yeah. Give me
Skid
some
Row
more of those.
Is the best map. Skid Row is the best map of the AC-130 by far.
I guessed Afghan. But
Afghan's good, but as soon as you call that AC-130 in, they're in the cave. You get the 6 guys that will spawn outside the cave, but there's always 3 guys, at least 3, that are in the cave. And then, by the time the AC-130 is over, you got 8 guys in the cave. Because you can't kill everyone. But,
so, talk about map and flag combinations. You only call the AC-130.
Right, Skid Row, A, without a doubt. They're spawning outside. They can't do anything. You could even send the bomb into the A house, that second floor building. But, that's like 15 to 20 kills. You don't even have to be aiming.
All right.
Then Trailer Park. Trailer Park is definitely good.
If you want them to have what, C?
A or C. They're both good. You get the angle to send it in through both the front door and the back. You could just send the 105mm in. When you got like 8 people camping, they're all dead. It's great.
So ruthless. All right. Do some more.
Wasteland A because they spawn out. B, you don't want to do it when they got B. If you have to, you do. They just spawn inside that house. You can't do much about it. You get the three guys outside the house. Everyone else piles in there. Okay. But A, they spawn out by those tanks out there. You can't do anything at all. You know, you drop the 105mm, that's four kills. Everyone else just scatters around. You pick them up. But the other guns, it's very easy.
Right.
But the problem with Wasteland, it doesn't reach, the AC-130 doesn't reach the, you know, the outside portions of the map if they're spawning at the church, say.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's stupid. I don't know why they do that, but that's how it is.
You know any more?
Afghan when they have C, obviously.
Mm-hmm, that one I would have guessed.
Favela when they have A. Definitely A.
Alright.
C's good, but A is way better. What else is there? What are the maps are there? I forgot. Don't use an AC-130 on high rise. I do it anyway and get one kill, maybe.
That's a good point. Maybe if they have C, you can drop it in the middle.
C, you drop it through the middle, but they learn after the first bomb and they just sit there.
I love it. They learn pretty fast.
It's really boring. You just hover behind the back of the stupid building.
Somehow I can't think of the maps. There's
Derail works if they have C, but they have to be spawning on the other side of the flag. You know that spawn out there by the useless side of the map?
By the, like, past the rail cars from C?
Yeah. It's like that side of the map that's just nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're spawning there, that's a 20-kill AC-130.
Nice.
But that's more team deathmatch spawn. You don't see that all that much in Domination. Vacant. That's the second best map of the AC-130.
And they have to have, what is that, A5. C? Yeah, A on the outside.
C is in the computer room. It's not too good. They got the windows up top, but they're not good enough. A, it's just Domination with that thing.
Right.
What else is there?
I got a thing for you before we go through all these maps. And I completely forgot it.
All right.
I got it again. All right, air support. Do you prefer using air support on Xbox or PS3?
It varies by lobby. It really changes all the time. Sometimes I'll be on Xbox, I'll send the Harrier. The thing will get 15 kills. You know, it all depends on who's playing. But if I had to pick, I'd send it on PlayStation 3. Just in my experience, no one's talking to each other. No one's saying, you know, get your stinger out. No one has a mic. So,
yeah.
So you can really pick up a ton of kills.
Black Ops. What are you looking to change?
Commando. Painkiller.
I think both of them. Well, is Painkiller out? I know Commando's out.
Yes, Death Streaks are out.
I'll tell you what, are out. That's
what
nice.
I would love, and I've been asking for this for years, is the knife to be a secondary. Maybe on a D-pad. I don't like that. You know, you're walking. I don't like it at all. Like, if you're walking through a hallway and someone gets shocked, you know, they get scared, they click in the thumbstick and you're just dead.
Yeah.
They didn't even mean to knife you.
I run on tactical.
Yeah,
and
me
when
too.
I knife somebody, I feel like it was a skill kill. Like, you know, I did something.
I can't knife anyone. I can't do it.
Although I will say I've won a lot of drop shot battles just by running tactical and panicking a little bit.
I can't even drop shot. I can't do any of that stuff. I just try to just shoot him in the face.
Oh, I drop shot a lot.
I can't pull that off.
I was using Commando a while ago.
I jump.
That thing's good.
Commando is awesome, dude. Like run Commando with akimbo USPs and Marathon Lightweight. Like, it's as good as some of the shotguns.
Dude, it's better
I'd rather
than
have
shotgun.
That than a strike.
Yeah, the auto-aim is strong on Commando.
I was using a TAR. And anytime somebody would get close to me, like I hear somebody's footsteps, I would instantly write the gun out of my game. Like, I'm going to knife the shit out of this motherfucker.
I suck at Commando, and I suck at noob tubing, and I hardly ever use the really cheap stuff. I'm not that good with RPGs. And there was one game, T. Martin's free-for-all game, I got caught using this stupid noob tube class. And I was goofing around, man. I'm not good with that. It wasn't a try-to-win class. I suck with the noob tube. I go negative with it.
I love it when, like, we'll all be playing Domination, and the other team will break out noob tubes, and when he's like, all right, I'm getting out the cheap class, and he does even worse.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's like, you know, I get a little happiness knowing that I'm probably making them mad, but it makes me even madder because I suck with it.
I do the same thing. If there's six people tubing on the other team, I'll take out a one-man army class. It's great. You get double nukes all day doing that.
Not me. I get 6 and 12 games.
You ever try an AC-130 with Danger Close?
I'm much better with bullets than I am with noob tubes.
Let me tell you, Woody. Here's how you do it on high-rise. I did this the other day. You just stand on the helipad and on the stairs and just shoot it into the window over and over and over again.
Yep.
Never move. Don't even worry if you get a kill or not. Don't even look and see if there are people there. Just shoot it.
That first video that you're famous for on Terminal, you know, where you just, like, fire noob tubes towards the top of the escalators?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I'm not that good at noob tubing. I will sit there and aim a noob tube for, like, 8 seconds trying to figure out the trajectory of it, and I die. It never works. And I still miss, and it's not a good scene.
Tell you, the worst are the people who spawn and just tube the opposite flag. Why is that in the game?
That was in COD 4 too. Like
But you couldn't do that the whole match and just get a nuke and end it.
Like in COD 4, for example, if you had C spawn on Crossfire, I would just not take that flag. I'd be like, I'm going to give them 10 seconds to see if they're spawn tubing it.
And ambush was a big map for that too.
Yep. So I would just sort of chill, wait to see what comes, and if they're not doing it, then I take the flag. It only takes 5 seconds to get a little head start, and then I take it.
On Bog, if you spawn, I think it's C. That's the bad spawn on Bog, whatever it is.
C.
If you spawn there, I can hit the car that's in the opposite spawn within 2 seconds of spawning with a noob tube and get a quad almost every single time.
You noob tube the car, and then you throw a grenade at the C flag, and you get like 8 kills.
Exactly.
But Bog and Countdown, I would pay $20 to get those maps back in the game.
Oh, my God. Bog would be... imagine what your AC-130 would do on Bog.
It's over. If they have the A flag.
if they have the A flag, huh? I guess so, yeah, because that's the one without a building to protect them.
See, they would be in that building, yeah.
Right. But I didn't like Bog. So my trouble with... That was before I rolled with really strong teams, right? Now, when I play off and play with good players, and like most of the time with my current friends list, we would probably own the good side of the map and Bog would be enjoyable. But before that, it was like unfair. You know, I would just die and die and die trying to flip the spawn. I didn't have a full team. Like, somebody come with me, help me flip the spawn. We can't win from over here. And then they didn't even get that whole map was tilted. That C was bad.
If you get the C spawn, you get the people just sitting in the bus, just dying repeatedly.
Sitting in the bus, or, you know, they're standing on that barrel behind the car, the shipping container, and or they're standing on the flaming barrel in the corner of the mat. Either one of those, it helps your KD a little, but you're losing that game. And I'm out there, like, single-handedly trying to flip the spawn, and it's hard to have a good game doing that.
I was going to say, here's something I don't
understand. It's like the way you said, you're talking about the people going back in the bus repeatedly. And we had this the other day on Afghan in the small bunker. These, about three guys went to the small bunker like 10 times in a row. Me and Wings are just sitting there with FAMASs just blowing their heads off every time. And they just keep going back. It's like a little kid like grabbing a hot pan on the stove and he's like, ow! And he reaches back, ow! And he reaches back. And you're just looking at him like, you're retarded.
So like, I'm psyched for Black Ops, man. This game, so originally I thought it was going to be about Vietnam, right? There were World War II games, there were, you know, unspecified stand games, and then there's, you know, the Vietnam game. And then when it turned out to be this across time, the history of special operations from, I think, World War II all the way to the 1980s, that is a better idea than I even hoped for. So I'm psyched for it, and it opens a huge range of weapons, and some of the weapons that we've liked from, say, the Modern Warfare games, they've sort of given themselves this break. Well, you know, Black Ops, they get weapons before they're released, so it can be in there. It was just a prototype version. And they've, you know, given themselves a little artistic license, I think, to open up any weapon they want. I think Modern Warfare is out there as kind of an example to learn from. Black Ops might be great. So
that should be cool. I don't say this. Going back to Bog real quick. I never had trouble spawning C. Generally, we just pushed up, took the hill, and spawn tracked to 1A. We spawned C.
It's hard to push
the hill. I've seen that happen maybe twice.
Yeah. Pushing the hill by
yourself. If you get B and they spawn at A, there's no easier game out there.
Really?
But A always gets the B flag.
It's all about B on that flag. It's not really like the Marines have the advantage.
To me,
yeah, because if you get that hill, they got nowhere to hide at A. They're toast.
To me, yeah. If you get that hill, they still have a shot at you, and then getting back to the hill is pretty dangerous. I mean, there's frag times 3 in COD 4. Getting past the bus and over to the hill, it's a death trap right there. That's where the fish in the barrel are. That, to me, was always the biggest problem. The approach to the hill is easier from A than C. That's why it's so much easier to hold it.
I usually just stood beside that sea container right there beside the hill, just picked them off while they're trying to edge off the wall.
And that kind of game, though, it gets you good KD, but it doesn't get you wins.
Yeah, if I had my way, because you're
on B.
Oh, if you have B, yeah. But I thought I'm picturing the shipping container back, I guess, next to or behind the bus.
There's a big old hill, and then there's a container.
Oh, the
and
one
then there's
next
a car, and there's another container.
Yeah. All right. You're talking about the midfield one. I thought you were on that barrel behind the container by the bus. Anyway.
Well, like I was saying, if I had my way, kill death should not even be displayed in a game. I'm all about winning the match. So.
You know, me too. I think Medal of Honor, and I haven't even played it yet because I'm waiting for it on the Xbox. Does something that's kind of cool. They have a point streak. So kills are part of what builds it, but there's some objective things that build it too. And I've argued something similar, saying, you know, hey, if you cap a flag in domination, that should be worth, I don't know what it's worth, 2 kills, 3 kills, something like that. If you plant the bomb in demo, that should get you a little kill streak. You know, that might be, demo's kind of hard to plant. So that be a UAV right there, 3 kills. And, or, you know, toward a predator or whatever it is. If they rewarded people who took those risks and had those success, then that would be cool. Because as it sits now, there's a lot of discouragement from doing the types of things it takes to win games.
See, that's why I feel the root problem with Modern Warfare 2 is you're rewarded for not doing the objective. You get a nuke and you end the game anyway. You know, you don't have to go get the B flag to get a nuke. You just sit in the corner.
Most players can't reliably
get totally different.
Like, you can probably fairly get a reliably nuke if you wanted one, but most people can't. But what they can do is pump up that KD number. And something about the community, they'll look at a guy with a 4 KD and a 0.4 win-loss and say that he's awesome.
Yeah.
But
I don't agree with that.
He loses all his games. That's not awesome to me.
Like, not everyone could get a nuke, but so many people try to get the nuke, so they're not doing the objectives anyway. That's my problem.
Yeah, I often wonder about that. Like, I'll look back, I'll be playing Domination, and I'll turn around and look behind me, and there's like 3 guys that are like way the fuck back there away from the B flag, and I just want to know what their kill streaks are. Or whenever I get killed by somebody sitting in a corner or laying in the grass, I'm like, I wonder what that guy's kill streaks are. I guarantee he's running like 9/11 nuke or something. Something he's never even going to get.
At the end of the game, he's seen like 8 combats.
Yeah.
It's like 4-4.
He'll go like 4-0, then die, then go 4-0 again and die. Never even get a kill.
I don't think there's any other game that rewards you that you can win while doing nothing. So that's my problem with the game. As long as the nuke is not in Black Ops, it'll be a better game.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of the nuke, you've got your Booster Justice videos, and I was just wondering, where did the idea of that come from?
I play free-for-all all the time because, like I said, you know, if my friends aren't on and I try to play a match and I get randoms that, you know, try to go for nukes, they don't do anything and we lose. I can't take it. So free-for-all, I don't have teammates. I'll just go in, play for fun, and everyone's boosting. It's so stupid. So, you know, I recorded a bunch of people getting killed and just put some Metallica tracks behind it, and it got pretty huge from there.
Hey, I got a story free for all about boosting.
Good.
I was playing on salvage, and it was free for all salvage, and I noticed this guy's got attack and search sitting in the little tunnel next to B. So I'm sitting there waiting for him to spawn, you know, and this kid comes by and he plants his tack insert right next to me, thinking I'm boosting with the guy I'm waiting on. So I shoot him, and then I shoot him again. He sends me a message like, invite me to your party. We can boost again.
That's awesome. So that's like the unspoken, like, like gay guys will go to like road stops and stuff, and they'll just kind of like look at each other and know. So I guess boosters just like throw down a tactical insertion, and that's your way to let the other boosters know that you're down. Oh man, no, but I love that one. My favorite clip out of all those Booster Justice videos, it's on High Rise, and you're waiting on the guy to respawn, and you've got the AK shotgun pointed at him, and it's like, there's only two ways this can end. And in both of them, you die. I laugh every time.
How do you get all that stuff? Like, so I played Duke Nukem, and I recognize some of those things. Like, I came here to chew bubblegum and whatever. But I don't recognize double kill and multi kill.
Oh, that's Unreal Tournament. I used to play those games on the computer, on the PC.
Like, are any
Unreal
of them
Tournament, Quake 3 Arena. That's where,
so
that's where
so
all my games.
So Ludicrous Kill on Unreal Tournament?
Ludicrous Kill is Unreal Tournament.
Ludicrous Kill.
Yeah.
That's the best one, Ludicrous Kill.
I love, like, those are better than commentaries. Like, I mean, it would be cool to hear you do a commentary and get your insights on the game, but God, it's so entertaining to hear that.
I was studying your stream tonight, like, before I started playing, because I've been trying to get a Sandy Ravage gameplay. And, you know, I know that watching YouTube videos, and it's especially true with YouTube montages, isn't really the way to analyze how
you don't
play
get
well.
Anything out of that.
No. It's like, oh, I see the good way to play. Walk into a room with eight people. This will work out great. I should try it. But I was like, all right, so now he's streaming. Now I'm going to really watch what he does. And I don't know. I needed more spaz from you, man. I was begging all night. But well, I watched you in the estate. Do your job there. Mowing everyone down.
Yeah, with the silence fast 12, you just sit in the house and just keep killing the people coming in there. It's really effective.
Yep.
I was playing a lot of free-for-all, and you know, you don't get those kills in free-for-all. You'll generally come across one person at a time.
Plus,
so,
you asked your stream what weapons you should use.
Yeah, I always
like
do that.
The most ridiculous. How about a WA-2... What was the... What's the dolphin gun? Help me, Wings.
F-2000.
Yeah. Yeah, how about the F-2000 with a thermal?
Okay. I won that match, but it didn't go over so well. It's that's a rough one to use.
Yeah, and then there was one where boosters won, and the whole lobby's like, Sandy lost. Oh. No,
yeah.
that doesn't count.
That annoys me so much. They were boosting in the rock.
Yeah, inside. You couldn't even kill them.
What am I supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
So there were two guys boosting, and then there was five people that were in the lobby screen watching in the game. So it's basically everyone versus me. They all see where I am. Mm-hmm. And it gets frustrating. That's why I like to stream, but it gets ruined really quickly.
Okay.
They all come in there
like watching your stream to know where you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be watching
the stream.
That's
incredibly
gay. It's horrible, dude.
And Kyle knows
it's
incredibly gay. We have
okay, you guys experienced
it. These guys would just follow him around the entire time. Every game we went into had smoke grenades and noob tubes.
Have you ever seen more annoying players than that? It's horrible.
Oh, and I had a really frustrating night. And the jumping around stuff, the lag was such that I'd like run around a corner, and then I'd find myself back where I was a second ago and run around the corner again. And
Ground War is very hit and miss with lag.
Yeah, we call it lag wars, my friend.
Yeah, lag war, definitely.
Yeah.
But that's where the montage clips come from. You can't, AC-130 is useless in 6v6.
I wouldn't go that far now.
It's not useless, but, you know, a Pavlo could get as many kills. Or more.
I wouldn't go that far either. My Pavlo good for two kills.
Pavlo a month ago would seem like a pretty good kill streak.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's now, even my Pavlos are getting shot down before they get a second kill.
I'm glad more people are shooting things down.
I'm not.
That's how the game is supposed to be played.
Well, I respect that they're shooting them down, but it still makes me a little sad when it happens to me.
I'm going to pull the FPS Kyle here. I want 30 kills on my chopper gunner. Every time I cast it.
I want the gun on my chopper gunner to overheat before it gets shot down. I don't, when I see stingers coming at me, I'm like, no, don't do it.
So how long does the chopper gunner last?
You ever been in the chopper gunner and you're killing people and you get bored?
It's not always the same. The chopper gunner leaves early if you lay on the trigger the whole time, and it stays longer if you don't.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
I thought it just flies on a rail for like a minute.
No, it's 40 seconds, not counting the time it takes for it to get to the map. That's why it seems like it lasts longer. Sometimes.
Can you kill while getting to the map? I think you could get some kills like that.
Sometimes you can, depending on the map.
I hate the chopper gunner.
Really?
You hate using it or hate having it used against you?
I hate using it. You just sit there, you get 30 kills in it. You don't have to do anything. It's so boring. Oh, no, but I don't allow it. When people play with me, I ask them to turn it off because after a chopper gunner, what do you got? You got 8 guys with painkiller. Just ruins it for everyone. If they're not shooting air support down, you get 30 kills easily.
Yeah, I remember like when the game first came out and nobody shot down air support and I was in a chopper gunner just mowing them down on what's that map? Scrapyard. And I'm like 3/4 of the way through the chopper gunner. I'm like, all right, guys, this chopper gunner's about to be over. Everyone's gonna have painkiller. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Because I just killed their whole team 2 or 3 times.
See, my problem is basically every map is good for the chopper gunner, and half the maps are good for an AC-130.
Yeah, see, that's my issue. My chopper gun's only good for 2 kills.
Except for maybe Skid Row. In Skid Row, the AC-130 can do something through the...
Skid Row, if they get A, it's absolutely... It's humiliating.
Even if they have
the chopper gunner will be the same thing on Skid Row, because it'll just set over A if they have it.
But what I was getting at is the AC-130 can get kills by putting a bomb on flat roof through that giant blown-out wall, whereas the chopper gunner is worthless there.
It's
easy to go inside.
But like on Afghan, the chopper gunner actually hovers over the spawn. It's ridiculous. They can't even put a stinger out. You're just spamming them.
You guys want to get into non-game stuff?
I got one more thing. I don't know if you wanted to talk about this, Woody. What about, I was going to bring up the kid who asked if you would do the dual commentary with him to impress his buddies at school.
He wrote back. He said that so here's the story. A subscriber wrote to me, and he said that the kid that he, I'm not going to mention his name, I'm not going to give any hints on who he might be, but the kids at school were giving him a hard time, and that he wanted to do a dual commentary with me so that they would think that he was somebody. So Kyle happened to be in the lobby. We were playing together, and I was like, Kyle, give me some advice. How would you reply to this young man? And he's like, I would tell him that dual commentaries with Woody Gamertag doesn't get you the bitches. You need to join the football team and score some girls. And so he wrote back, and he's like, it's not about girls. It's that he wants, I guess, the other boys in the school to think he's cooler.
So he's gay.
No. So I don't know what I should do here. You know, do you do a dual commentary with a young guy like that, or what do you do?
It's charging like I money. Said. It's like I said. Like I don't. I'm 8 years removed from high school, but or am I 6 years? I'm sorry, I'm not that old. 6 years removed from high school, and it's like I told you the other night. Like if I went to school and I was like, hey guys, check this out. Open the laptop up. It's my dual com with Woody's gamer tag. We're playing Call of Duty. Then I kicked the shit out of me. Like that. Then I took my laptop.
Yeah, I think I think that it would backfire. I think that if he really wanted to impress the kids at school, knowing me isn't going to be the trick that that's going to turn them around. So, Sandy, you're in school. Mm-hmm. You're getting a master's.
Yeah, I'm getting my master's.
In New York, I guess?
Yep, New York City.
Good deal. So are you working too, or you go at night, or are you doing it full-time?
No, I'm doing it full-time.
Is this your
job
first
market
year?
Right now sucks.
So did you work before you went to school? Like, are you taking a break from work?
No, I went directly from getting my undergrad to master's.
Gotcha. So you just stayed in school a little. I don't know. Stay tight, wait for the job market to improve.
Well, basically, this is the worst time to graduate from college, so
in
why not
quite some time,
go for a master's, for 2 years?
What are you going for? Like, what are you going to do?
Computer science, focusing on database programming.
Ooh. Okay, very nice.
So is this year one or year two in it?
I'm going into my second year.
Oh, right, right, because it's between you. So you're,
yeah, I completed first. 2 semesters so far.
So what was your – so I have a master's too. And when I was in high school, not that I got good grades, but I could do nothing. Nothing. I would do, like, no homework all semester
long.
Yeah,
never.
And then I'd show up and I'd do okay enough on tests to pass courses. And when I got to college, it wasn't quite like that. I sort of had to keep up a little more. If I fell behind, I could catch up. And, you know, that's how college was. It wasn't quite so easy to just, you know, learn a quarter's worth of stuff in the last week.
Yeah.
When I got my master's, that was just about full speed for me. You know, if I fell behind, I don't know if I was even able to catch up.
It took me a couple months to adjust to it. It's insane.
So you're having the same experience. You're not, you know, some freaking
one class is like
thing.
Taking 3 undergrad courses. You know, and I don't take more than 3 master's classes at a time. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I work so hard. So I took 2 courses at a time, but I also had a full-time job and a family. And
yeah.
It's a lot, you know. You really learn time management when you're at that sort of thing.
It's pretty insane.
There's something about school that work doesn't have, right? At school, they occupy you 24/7 every day. You can't go to the movies without thinking that there is some report or project that you're supposed to be working on. Whereas at work, you're kind of allowed to have life outside of work. It's part of the deal. And, you know, some times at work, it's almost 24/7. But oftentimes, you leave work and you're not supposed to be working anymore. They even want you to have a life outside of work, so keep you as a long-term happy employee. School, they don't have any of this long-time happiness objective. That's not really in their to-do list.
Hey, you go to class for 1 hour and 40 minutes, then you go home, you got 8 hours of work to do.
It's so huge.
It's like kind of the opposite.
So did you do anything that made you feel smart yet?
No.
No?
I'm still lazy, you know. I don't feel like a smart person. So,
I had
do like huge projects, you know, like, you know, 80-page programming assignments or whatever. But you know, they look good, but I don't feel
really.
You know.
Some of those bigger projects, as I was doing them, increased my own sense of self-worth. Like I would do these things
a little bit,
I would be like, you know what, the other people I work with, they drown in this stuff. You
like
know?
I'm a little surprised I could pull it off at the end.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of
but cool. I wouldn't show it off to people.
No, it won't make you popular with the bitches, according to Kyle.
Not at all. They don't want to see SQL.
No.
You know, after hearing this, I think Kyle made the correct business choice here.
Oh.
Car salesman don't sound too bad.
There you go, man. Straight out of high school.
Yep. No debt. Way to be.
Loving it. My mom's got a master's degree in early childhood education, which basically means she's the highest paid kindergarten teacher in the world. And I just went straight out of high school, working out pretty nice for me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they're saying that college isn't necessarily the sure thing route that it was like 20 years ago. That there's a, you know, viable career path that can be just as good for guys who don't go to college.
I mean, at the jobs I'm looking for, a master's degree only adds a half a year of experience. They're looking for minimum 5 years experience. It's not helping. So it's all dependent on the job market.
Where I work, it helps. It's internal ball here, but if you get hired with a bachelor's, you're pay grade 4. That's it. It's not negotiable. You're pay grade 4. If you get hired with a master's, you're either a 6 or an 8, most likely a 6. Mm-hmm. And that means that you start off, it probably takes 3 years to get your first promotion, and that's about the jump on everyone else that you get there.
That's cool.
Yeah. And if you come in as an 8, and to come in as an 8, you would probably have to do something during your master's that kind of distinguishes you. Maybe you have a pretty good internship under your belt. Maybe you were president of some, you know, society that you know, went really well, and you kicked butt in your interviews. You might come in as an 8, and that puts you a good, you know, 5.
Did you
plus.
Have to do a thesis hey. In your master's?
Nope.
Man, I'm glad I didn't go for my master's.
It's not fun.
Now, let me ask you this. What does this buy you, seriously, other than ass amount of tuition debt?
Well, for my master's, I went during work. So my employer paid for everything, which was kind of a sweet deal. A lot of employers will pay for continuing ed. And, you know, it's a resume booster. trying to, how do I say this humbly? There's about...
Say it unhumbly, because I deal better with that.
So the entire IT department where I work is probably 3,500, 4,000 people deep. And in terms of pay grade, I'm probably in the top 30. So that's what a master's gets you.
Now, does a master's get you a Cadillac or Maserati?
Probably Cadillac. We're not Scrooge McDuck over here. But
always gotta be. Why do I have to be Scrooge McDuck?
Hey, I didn't call you out, man. It's you. You're the one who announced yourself to be Scrooge McDuck. I was just saying that I'm not Scrooge McDuck.
I do not have a giant vault full of gold, and most of our subscribers are too young to remember Scrooge McDuck.
Kyle, can I swim through your vault of gold if I go visit?
No, you cannot. I want to talk about Mel Gibson.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about.
We'll talk about Duke Nukem forever.
Okay, so first of all, Mel Gibson, one of my favorite actors of all time, and he can do no wrong in my eyes. Let me just say that.
Wait
right
a minute,
off
the bat. Just did some wrong. Continue.
He is the road warrior. Hey, before we jump into this, let's leave that one part toward the end of the story out because we did lose podcast 9 over something.
No, all no, right, we've got the podcast marked as explicit now. We should be able to cover stuff.
Okay, I can drop the N-bomb then, okay.
Be gentle.
All right. All right, Mel Gibson, in case you guys don't remember, back in 06, he got in this drunken argument with Malibu police officers when he was arrested for drunk driving, in which he, talked about how all the fucking Jews were responsible for all the wars in the world, and then he called the female officer sugar tits. He's like, what are you looking at, sugar tits? And he got in trouble for that. And, doesn't faze me one bit. I'm not Jewish. No problem there. I don't have sugar tits. Doesn't bother me. So, recently... not too long ago, he divorced his original wife, to whom he'd been married for, I believe, 27 years, remarried this 40-year-old Russian chick who's pretty hot. She's 40, he's 54. They're going through a divorce right now, and she recorded his phone conversations and kept his emails, kind of a Tiger Woods-type situation. And I'm going to read you a couple excerpts of what he said to her. He says, "How dare you act like such a bitch when I've been so fucking nice to you? I'm going to come over there and burn the fucking house down, but you're going to blow me first. You look like a fucking pig in heat, and I hope you. And it's not going to be my fault when you get raped by a gang of niggers."
Mel Gibson bringing the class.
Wow. All right, now let me just say this: sometimes bitches don't know when to stop. Everybody out there has a little bit of racism in them. I don't care who you are. If there's some Asian guy out there who absolutely fucking despises Eskimos for whatever reason. He hates them. Everybody has a little bit of racism in them. And when you're drinking and you're dealing with like a serious situation like woman who's divorced you and going to take like half your fucking millions and millions of dollars, I can understand a crazy outburst. He is the road warrior. He can do no wrong. That's how I feel about the situation.
I think he made a mistake there. But that's not a very nice thing to say. And I think it's hard to argue otherwise.
I think he's too good of an actor and got too much money to even give a fuck if he messes up and something like that. Publicity like that's never going to kill his career.
No, somehow Mel Gibson is allowed to be an idiot. He'll have a new movie and he'll be funny in it. And
hey, did you see Edge of Darkness? That shit was fantastic. I would pay to see another Mel Gibson movie.
I want to see Braveheart Part 2 where William Wallace comes back.
I want his head to come back on. I want him to be William Wallace Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to be like a futuristic movie where like they thaw him out and like put the pieces back together, and he's like, "I am William Wallace."
No,
and
dude,
then,
I got it.
Him with that claymore.
He respawns like 15 feet away with Commando.
There you go.
And then takes out the guy who operated that guillotine.
Mel Gibson has has made some of the most amazing, great, entertaining movies. Lethal Weapon. I like Signs. Signs is one of my favorite movies.
Signs was good.
Did they shelf Fury Road?
I don't know.
I know he did it, but has never came out. I wonder if he finished it. Mad Max 4 Fury Road is what I'm talking about.
I'll check. 2012 is when it comes out.
2012. Nice. So yeah, we got another Mel Gibson movie in the works.
He's not listed in the cast. Charlize Theron is though. So is Tom Hardy.
Well, he did it. He did it because I remember hearing an interview about him on the set of it. So who knows?
I like Mel Gibson. That's a pretty crazy tirade he went on there, but I'm not going to hold it against him.
I don't hold anything like that against anybody. Most people, like, you say a mad word, they go,
like, dude, like we've all been in situations where somebody just, where you just go, you're just furious and you hate the person and you'll say, like, crazy off the wall stuff that you don't even mean. You just want to, like, say the most disgusting, hurtful thing you can to that person and then beat them up a little, even if they are a woman. I mean, shit happens. I'm not holding it.
I spit on your mutilated tits, bitch.
There you go. Perfect example. That's a little fucked up, though, Wings.
Yeah,
what he
said. All of a sudden, you lost me a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Hey,
no.
So this one, I think it's time for Cool Story Bro of the Week. You guys down for that?
I'm ready.
So, Sandy.
I still want to hear Sandy Ravage's take on Duke Nukem Forever. We got to get this one in.
Duke Nukem Forever?
All right.
That thing's over. Why, have they mentioned it coming back out?
No. I just want to hear your take on it, since you have all these Duke Nukem soundboards and all.
I haven't actually played Duke Nukem since I was 10 years old, so.
Come on, you didn't play Duke Nukem 3D when it came out?
Yeah, what was that, 96?
Yeah, that was a little while ago.
Something like that.
I was
10
years
old. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I loved the game. I played it every day. It was my first multiplayer game.
I wonder if Duke Nukem Forever, they were serious about it the whole time? Like, every so often you'd hear, oh, they're scrapping the engine, they're starting over.
Well, that was the whole problem. They would switch the engine every few years, and eventually they ran out of money.
But I used to wonder if it was even true. Like, sometimes I think they reinvigorated Duke Nukem rumors just to play with us. Like, oh, trust me, it's still coming.
They put out that trailer, like, 2 years ago.
Actually, Take-Two Interactive has picked Duke Nukem Forever up.
It's cursed.
So it's still got a chance to come out.
Hey, if they made it, it's going to sell. It's going to sell.
Oh,
I don't think
it.
It'll be a good game, though. I don't think it'll be good at all. So
you don't think
opinion.
It'll be a good game?
No.
I don't know. Duke Nukem game, well, there's only been one good Duke Nukem game. The other two kind of sucked. Actually, the other three. I didn't really I didn't really like Time to Kill. It was a cool game. But like, Duke Nukem 3D is the only standout, and the first two on the first platform kind of sucked. I mean, in the first one, had fucking pink. What?
Was the side scrolling ones?
Yeah, the one where he had like pink underwear on and shit.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
I just went to
John St. John's still alive.
He is. I was actually going to contact him. He offers a service for custom Duke Nukem quotes. I was going to have him say a couple, do a commentary for me.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But, oh, my God.
There's a little disclaimer. It says for private use only. I was thinking of working around that.
Yeah, you could talk to him about it. You know, I bet if you showed him your YouTube channel and how it didn't really make a profit, he might be down. But how cool would it be if Duke Nukem was like Sandy Ravage?
That would be
beastly.
The ultimate thing ever.
I
was really going to do it. I don't know why I didn't. I couldn't think of a really good line for him to say.
Oh, just get your name in there.
How much do you charge?
I think it's like $50 for 30 seconds, which is not that bad.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say,
a lot of 30 seconds.
Yeah, but I'm not going to put out like like one word, one random word after each one.
No, but I mean, you could get him like multi-kill, right? I mean, you could say, all right, I want a half a dozen of those for $50 or maybe even 10.
I mean, but it does say private use only, so is that an issue? I don't want to get sued. I got enough Metallica on my page to go to jail for
Metallica especially, they're not really pro Napster.
Lars is not happy.
You need to quit having the fucking Infinity War message you.
Yeah, that brings up another point. YouTube has this, I guess, a new copyright filter. They're getting on all of my videos. I don't know if that's trouble or not, but they might. I don't know, like, if YouTube has a problem, they might shut my channel down. Every single video has music on it.
I wouldn't really care if they put my channel down. I'd just restart it.
One video.
Yeah, I would have to somehow get it out there that I have a new channel. But
one
I don't
video,
think
I'm no sure problem. The community would rally. Yeah, it'd be no big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
You'd have 30,000 subs in a day.
I just don't want them to pull down, you know, all my biggest videos, Booster Justice and all that. They now have copyright content or whatever. I don't know if that even matters.
It doesn't. If the little song thing pops up, and you're good to go.
It's not even showing up, but I get an email for each one, but it's not telling you what song is playing. I don't know. It only happened last night, so.
Kyle, aren't you our resident in trouble with YouTube expert here? Do you have any advice?
Yeah, actually, I just got my second strike a couple days ago, so I'm down for about 2 weeks. Be back with you guys sometime soon on FPS Kyle. basically they're just contacting you to let you know that there's something fishy going on, but they're not going to take any action.
I already have one strike.
What was your strike for?
I was uploading Modern Warfare 2 gameplay November 5th.
That'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be back with Black Ops.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing, man. I don't know how you got your copy, but I've already made arrangements. I'm going to get myself a copy.
New York City gets, like, the first shipment. You just walk in with straight cash, and you get the copy.
Yep, I'm going to Best Buy.
Kyle, you have a hookup? Like that?
Yes, I do. You want a copy?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Anyone out there, if you want a copy of Black Ops a month early, they're $300 a piece.
$300?
I don't think that's our price, Wings. I think that's Kyle hooked us up.
Unless you're a YouTube commentator, then they're only $200.
I can swing 100.
I'm not kidding.
Cool story, bro?
Do it.
All right, so Sandy, here's the deal. Every week I have the guest host choose which of my cool story bros I tell. And let's see, which titles do I want to throw at you? Woody Saves 130 Lives. That one's not as good as it sounds. Woody's Adventure in Poverty. My Worst Beating Ever. And my personal favorite, Woody's Testicular Torsion.
What was the third one? Your worst beating?
Yes.
Like a physical beating?
Absolutely.
I got to hear it.
Ugh. No one picks testicular torsion.
All right. Don't want to hear that.
It's better than you might guess. So, let's see. I got into a car accident, and that caused my my bone to hit my ulnar nerve, and then over the course of a few years, tumor grew in it, and I had surgery to remove this tumor from my nerve. Because of that, my arm was paralyzed. So I had this surgery, and it was kind of a big deal. It went like 8 hours long, and the guy like carefully tried to remove the thing from the nerve without damaging it to whatever extent he could. And when I came out, my arm was paralyzed. So I'm in the hospital for like 3 days, and I come home. And the day I come home, my buddies sort of rally around me and take me to the boardwalk. This is in Ocean City, New Jersey. And I'm still like...
I'm trying to stop you, Woody. I think you've told this one before.
You've told this one before.
Awesome.
Should I switch it to testicular whatever?
Yeah. All right, let's do that. Thank you. I told that one already. You want to do the testicular torsion one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I'm 15 years old. I'm sitting in biology class, and my balls hurt, right? That's where I am on this thing. And, you know, whatever. Jeans are too tight. Sometimes you got to adjust and fix this. But whatever, you know, moving around and dealing with this is not solving my problem. And,
you're starting to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to break out into a sweat at this point. It's kind of escalating, the pain I have in my nut. So I walk up to my biology teacher, and I tell her that that I need to go to the nurse. And she was kind of a stickler. She didn't let anyone go. But I was pale and sweaty. And she's like, yeah, you can go. You don't look good. So the nurse was fairly hot. And I get down there. And I'm like, you know, my testicle hurts. This doesn't seem right. And I'm secretly hoping for an exam from this woman. But that's not how it actually went down. How it actually went down is she got the gym teacher. And this guy comes along. He's like a 250-pound musclehead. And he grabs a nut, and he's like, I'm not a doctor, but that's not right. That thing is too hard. And so they were kind of considerate of it, because I'm nervous about, you know, this getting out to the entire school. And they plan it so that it's not between classes, like where everyone's sort of traveling. Everyone's in the classroom, and they have an ambulance back up right to the nurse's office and sort of scuttle me from the nurse's office to the hospital. And at this point, I'm moaning and complaining and just letting everyone know about the pain I'm in like a bitch. I'm just like, it hurt a lot, and I didn't make any effort to hide that. And it turned out to be a good thing, because I got some real good attention. They put some sort of like ink in my blood, like radioactive thing, and they could tell the blood flow. And my nut wasn't getting the blood flow that it should have. So apparently your testicles attached to your scrotum by some like spider web type of thing. And I didn't have that. And so it's spinning inside the scrotum. And the one of the cords that gives it blood flow.
I was getting paid for
this. And the blood flow is not getting to it. So that's the deal. So they quick schedule this surgery where they slice my scrotum down the middle. And untwist it. And in this, any like modesty I could have possibly had is gone. You know, my mom is looking at my 15-year-old nutsack and like, oh yeah, it looks tightened up. I don't know. Yeah. And doctors and nurses and, you know, teams of eight are examining me over the next couple of days. So, I probably only missed like 4 days of school, but with the weekend in there, I had a good, you know, 6 days of rest. And then I had to go back to school. And when you're healing, there's like some gauze you put on the thing to deal with, you know, stitches like you would anything else, I guess. And so I'm back at school, and I had to wear sweatpants because you can't, like, you know, pack that baby in. You got to give it a little room to breathe while you're getting better. And just the way the gauze kind of, like, propped everything up, I was looking hung, and I had sweatpants on. And I would strut through the halls of my high school like a peacock with my cock out. I would just like, I remember girls looking at my package as I walked down the hall because it was so pronounced. It was kind of like stuffing a sock underneath it because of the like bandaging around it. And, yeah, and I was rocking the big boy there and, eventually got better. I was nervous about fertility for a little while, but, had a couple kids since then without much trouble. And I'm good to go.
Woody, that story just made me so uncomfortable, I can't tell you. I feel like that's awful.
It happens, man. Had a twisted nut and pranced around school like a peacock with my cock out.
And as uncomfortable that as that makes me, whenever I was watching the Discovery Channel once and they were talking about like kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed like pictures of them, and some of them they're like these jagged chunks of calcium, mm-hmm. and some of them are like big. And that's the same uncomfortable feeling I just got from that story.
I've heard that's one of the most painful things.
My dad's had 9 of those.
Why? Yikes!
They say that's
I was so bad, Sandy.
I got them coming.
Ooh!
My grandfather had like 6 of them. My dad had 9. They're coming right for me.
Yeah, you probably won't go through your entire life without it.
He said it's by far the worst pain he's ever felt.
They say that it's second only to childbirth.
That's bad.
Huh.
Yeah.
You get tubes inserted.
They got like lasers and shit now that can crush them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently that actually, that is worse pain.
Really?
Yeah, as long as it's not in my nuts, if it's like worse pain in the stomach, I can deal with the stomach pain a little bit more than nut pain.
No, the pain is the tube that is inserted.
Tube that's inserted?
There's
a tube? I didn't know there was a tube involved.
There's a tube. There is a tube because it has to open it. It has to make a wider opening.
Can they cut?
You gotta cut your penis in half like a loaf of bread from like Italian bread? That's not good.
You could go in for the...
It's like a hoagie
section somewhere.
We went down a road I did not intend to go down.
I don't want a hoagie piece.
Stuff's not going in there. They're going to have to cut.
What are you talking about? Have your butt sack cut open? Worried about cutting a penis?
Yes, actually.
Oh, it's a series of tubes.
That like the internet.
A series of tubes. What are they? What is this? No. No.
Hey, you give me a bottle. You give me a bottle of whiskey and a right hook. I can deal with pretty much anything.
Oh my god! Right. No, I'd be like, all right, look, no, you're just gonna have to cut me open. I know my kidney's back here on my back, and they're like, no, sir, that's not how we do it. You cut or I cut.
Going from the back. Yeah,
give me some more feet up here. Give me a drip.
That's how we're going in.
And when I look back at the whole experience, it wasn't so much the painful ambulance ride or any of that business. The thing I remember most was strutting the hallways of high school with the equivalent of like a sock in my pants.
Nice.
Proud as can be.
You know, yeah, see, but you could have kept that going home by putting a sock in your pants. You didn't have to have the scrotum cut open.
Yeah, looking back, that would have been a wiser course of action. Hey, I've got a subscriber brought this question into the podcast. What's the most angry you've ever been at a video game? What game was it, and what was the damage? You know, broken stuff. Sandy, can you go first?
I'm not going to lie. I don't get mad at video games. I just don't. I've had friends who go ballistic. Like, they knock their TV over and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they look like the Halo kid, the crazy German kid or whatever
right.
that was.
I know him.
The kid with the milk on his face in Call of Duty.
No, wait a minute.
I don't get mad. I'm very easygoing.
I rarely get mad. And even when things go, not to say I've never gotten mad, but I'm more likely to do a darn it, this isn't working out than I am, you know, a total flame.
I laugh it off.
I often do too, but I've also been mad. You know, come on, never, lifetime.
I don't, if I broke a controller, I'd be really pissed. I don't do that. I'm very calm.
Yeah, I've never broken anything either, but I threw a controller once.
I get mad. I'm never going to break something, though.
Yeah, that's me, too. Like, I don't understand the whole breaking stuff and punching walls.
That's just psycho.
All right, I'm mad. It's like, all right, I'm pissed off. I'm mad. Now I'm going to destroy something I enjoy. Like, no, that's just going to make me madder.
So here's what happened.
Yeah, you're waiting for me to get it right.
Yeah, we're saving you for last, man. I know. I don't even know what your story is going to be, but here's mine. So I was playing Call of Duty 4. This is when I first started playing Call of Duty 4, and I was kind of making my transition from negative to positive player. And because of the way that killstreaks work in Call of Duty, that transition is a really cool one. You know, you're a guy who suffers from air support to the guy that makes the other team suffer, and that's what's going on. And I had played on a 32-inch traditional TV, like a CRT, and I had bought a 52-inch plasma. And I had so much, like, hopes and expectations wrapped up in this plasma. Suddenly I was going to have 16:9 and perhaps a wider field of view. Suddenly I was going to be able to see enemies that I couldn't see before because they were just about invisible on that CRT. And I thought that it was going to really like instantly improve my game. But what happened is it was the wrong TV. It was this Vizio, and they're notorious for input lag. And the things that I was seeing were things that happened like a minute ago. It was like the worst network connection you ever had. It wasn't so much a TV as it was a newspaper. It was telling me about, you know, things that happened in recent history. And I went negative every single game all night, which wasn't, you know, it didn't fit how well I could play at the time. And I ended up like cursing every game, and I threw my controller and the battery popped off. And I went out, you know how they say, like, don't drive angry? They should say don't shop angry for me, because I went out the next morning and bought the best TV I could find. Brought that home. And that was my rage story. But Wings, you're clearly going to win this.
18 PS3 controllers, 3 Xbox controllers, 2 TVs, 1 keyboard, 1 handgun.
God, you
and
broke
a
handgun?
Yeah.
How did you break it?
He's hitting the Xbox with the handgun.
No, it's a high point. But
oh, well, yeah, that'll do it.
I have basically like this brick imports. Like I got, it's not like the fake brick, but actual brick masonry.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in a double wide trailer. And basically what we did was we cemented the foundation and put the footers into the cement and then bricked under the house and made brick porches. Well, I got mad and I didn't want to, because this just happened after I busted a TV. I busted like a 32-inch HDTV. I just kicked my foot right through it. And so I grabbed this high point handgun, which I had right at the time, and I took the clip out and I threw it. And then I went out on the porch and I just spiked the shit because I was still mad. And the shit just went in pieces. It warped the frame of the gun. All this.
And this was seconds after you broke the TV?
No.
Oh, it was like a day.
I broke the TV like a week before. I didn't want to do it again because I just replaced the TV.
So can I ask what caused this?
Yeah. Mostly shooter games.
Like a noob tube?
Oh, it does. It takes little things to set me off. Like, I hate losing.
Building rage.
I hate losing with a passion because video games is one of the things I've been always very good at. And yeah. I never have a network connection to fulfill my actual playing ability. And that pisses me off. Yep. Like, I can't get on the phone. Like, I got on the phone with, we have HTC here, which is like Ori Telephone Cooperative. And I was talking about, was talking about line speeds, and they were giving me some bullshit like, well, for $200 a month, we can give you three up and two. We can give you three down, two up.
Yeah.
$200? You better be giving me a blowjob with that shit.
Oh,
I was screaming at the guy.
The podcast is marked explicit now.
I mean, I get mad. It pisses me off how bad my connection is just because I live a little bit outside of town. I live about 4 miles outside of town, and they're just too fucking cheap to run fiber optic in a rural area. Fucking faggots.
I wonder how much it would cost to get a good connection at my house. Like, I called Time Warner, but, like, maybe I need to call someone else and see what... If I could drop a one-time, you know, $800 or $900 to get something run out here with a decent monthly fee, I'd seriously look at that.
Yeah. I'm about to check into that tomorrow, actually. Machinima finally paid us, and I refused using my own money for that, so I may use that money.
I think my favorite one, though, is my first Xbox controller. I was playing a game of Karachi, and I was just doing bad. I think I ended the game like 8-8 before I rage quitted, and I was just so mad. I took the controller and I spiked it, and the controller didn't break, and that pissed me off. So I picked it up and spiked it again.
No, you know, so after I threw my Xbox controller, and it didn't break, the battery pack popped off, I kind of felt a little ashamed, you know, like I'm past this. I shouldn't be raging like that. I should have a little more self-control. How are you feeling when, you know, like post-rage?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. I feel like the fucking controller deserved it.
You failed me again. For the last time.
Piece of shit, why'd you work?
But, like, you know, there must be this sort of, like, let's take the TV one, right? You broke a 32-inch TV, and I bet you didn't want it broken 5 minutes afterwards. Do you kind of, like, say, you know, wow, that...
No, I'm the kind of person that will blame the TV, like you said, for input lag. If your ass would have worked, your ass would have still been working. I got mad that I had to buy another TV.
Man, mine was input lag. I played better as soon as I got the new TV, and it had this like blindness thing. Like when you turned your character, not only was there input lag, so I saw things late, but the refresh was so terrible that you were pretty much not able to see what was happening on the screen, which is like a big gray blob as your character rotated around. So when you like drop shot or work your way around the corner, you might as well close your eyes, and it was just unplayable.
Like, I'm kind of mad at my TV right now because I paid $1,800 for it. It's like a 60-inch Samsung. Mm-hmm. And when I bought it, I didn't have the knowledge I have now. Like, I wish I could go back and rebuy a TV. And I just don't want to, like, drop, you know, because I'm never going to get $1,800 out of TV again. I might get five. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to use the TV to its extent. It's a fantastic TV, but I could probably get a better TV more suited for what I do. Because 60 inches is way too big for video gaming, especially as close as I sit to it. Mm-hmm. I have trouble, you know, looking at the UAV because I have to actually move my eyes over, and that'll make me lose sight of shit that's happening on the right side of the screen.
Or
I've died many times because of that.
Another situation, like let's say you're on that little porch, the like trick spot you jump to from the flat roof on Karachi. You know what I'm talking about? And you have a view of the triple story and down the hall and down the alley. It's kind of hard to watch on a big TV two spots like that. And there's a million situations where you have to keep an eye on the left and the right. And if it's 60 inches, that's not peripheral vision.
Yeah.
I actually have a little hint. Play on a computer monitor. That's what I do. I've played on my 55-inch TV, 40-inch TV. Nothing compares to the 23-inch computer monitor.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a 22-inch computer monitor. It's like not the best. I think Woody tested it. But I don't feel like unhooking it and hooking it back up to my computer every time. I wish I could hook my Xbox through my computer.
Yeah, when I set up the
man
cave...
That's what I do, yeah.
When I set up the man cave, I did all this research on like what the best gaming things were. And if you go to the MLG stuff and see what the pros use, they're not, you know, rocking 50-inch plasmas. They're using 22-inch monitors.
How do you hook an Xbox up to a computer tower?
I use the BMI Pro.
The BMI
Black Magic
Pro.
Card?
Yeah.
And that will take HDMI inputs. And the Acer 23-inch H233H model, that's got the HDMI inputs.
That's what I have. The Acer
24. Yep. I won't trade that for anything.
Yeah, I did my research. There, we landed at
the
same spot.
I had the Hapag I have the HD PVR, and I had to play on my 40-inch LCD. You know, I did that. I only got the BMI a couple months ago, so most of my videos are with the HD PVR on the TV. Mm-hmm. Nothing compares to playing on the monitor.
So yeah, you're saying if I go out there and get a Blackmagic card and put it in my computer, that I'd be better off doing it that way than with the HD PVR?
I think so. Because what I do, I mean, you could call it like, what is it, Tyrannosaurus aiming or something. You just stare at the screen. You get the whole screen in your field of vision. First thing that moves, you aim.
Here's how the connections work. You got an HDMI from the Xbox to the Blackmagic, and then another HDMI from the Blackmagic to the monitor. Right, so that's one. And then you have a separate cable from the computer to the monitor, and you just switch the inputs. You know, take it from this port, take it from this port, the same way you'd switch the inputs on a TV.
What I do, I take question. It a step further. Oh, go ahead.
My tower's already HDMI ready. Is there any way I can hook it up through that just to test it?
I don't know.
I don't think it has an HDMI input.
You need the input and the output.
Yeah, the BMI has a pass-through, so it doesn't add any lag or anything. It just,
you know, you most likely have a video card that takes an output HDMI.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying because my computer monitors HDMI as well, so I got that hooked up through the tower.
Yeah. So you'd add a BMI card, and then you'd use another port on the computer monitor that was...
If you got a video card that has HDMI, you probably have the PCI Express slot, the BMI. You should be good to go.
Yeah.
But crack open the case and make sure you have an empty PCI Express slot.
Yeah, it's a tiny little one.
I do. I built the computer. I have one.
Okay.
But I bought that for streaming, which it produces. It's like watching HD video over YouTube live.
Yeah, someone in your stream today was saying that you have the best... looking stream out there.
Yeah, if you have a good upload, you can get the bitrate up to 1500. And what I do, I have the HD PVR go into the BMI so I can record while streaming. And I have the BMI. The BMI could split a component input, which is really nice.
Oh, there's one more thing I'll talk about before we shut this shit down.
I've got one too.
I recently started doing the videos with the overhead and, you know, drawing out John Madden type shit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about copying. I don't think kids understand how copying works.
So I replied on, I think I have the highest rated comment on your first one, because somebody wrote, you copied Woody. And I replied, yeah. And I copied Onslaught and T. Martin, and they copied John Madden, and they copied Julius Caesar, who did it in the dirt with a stick. And, you know, these aren't brand new ideas, but, like, drawing up a play is, it's new to Modern Warfare, and it's really cool, and I think that it's, that, you know, there's going to be a certain group of people who like learning from these videos that love it. But, and the end of my comment was, why don't you just give them a thumbs up instead of putting a negative spin on it?
I just wanted to get that out there. If nobody copied anybody, there never would have been anybody past Adam and Eve. Because, you know, fucking some pussy, that's copying.
I knew that's where we're going.
There we were headed, huh? Yeah, so like I think Blaine Truth, as far as I know, was the first guy to commentate. He wasn't the first guy to put video games on YouTube, but he was the first guy to do a voiceover and like talk about what he was doing and maybe why he was doing it. Or I don't know what he talked about in his very first videos. But then other guys started commentating. Hutch started doing it. You know, Beyond used to do it, and some of those early guys. So you know, is Hutch a copier? Yeah, you know, lighten up. It's commentating a video game. And just because, you know, someone takes it to the next level, and I think it is the next level.
Lil Wayne's whole rap career based off copying.
Oh, God. No, not Lil Wayne again.
Why are you always picking on Lil Wayne?
Because if Shorty Low didn't exist, he'd be the worst rapper alive.
You know, someday, if I practice enough, I'm going to get a mini Sandy Ravage game. You know,
nice.
Someday I'm going to go out there, I'm going to have like an 80-kill game with the Spaz and an AC-130. And when I do it, I'm going to sit there and tell people everything I've learned. And I'm going to have subs that say I copied him. And it's like,
apparently I started the Spaz 12 movement. I don't know why. But
because you make it look like a deadly weapon. It's like...
It's a good gun. It's really good. It's fun. It's one of the few fun things, you know, that's left in the game now that people have taken over with the tubes and all that.
Hey, anybody who shoots a new tube is copying me. Oh, you guys gotta stop.
No, but I'll watch one of your videos and I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna go play some Modern Warfare 2, get out the Spaz 12. It looks like so much fun when you run into one of those spawns and just clear out about four or five guys.
I have montage moments, right? Like on Trailer Park, if I go in there and get by where C-Dom would be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll shoot like literally seven people in a row and I feel like Sandy. But I haven't been able to pull a
string them together.
Put a full game together.
Yeah, you need you need a couple of those to get at least dual AC-130s. Before
you need a lot of luck. A lot of luck, a good connection, and people that aren't hiding when the AC-130 is called.
Yep. Oh, and well, that I think I stretched it out too long in this, but that, you know, that knowledge you have of, you know, how to maximize your AC-130. Is a really good thing. I don't run AC-30.
More people get into it. It's really, really fun to use the AC-130.
Did they nerf the Spaz with the Spaz?
No, I don't think it was changed at all.
A lot of
people
say that.
There's rumors of it, but it's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. All right. And here's the other topic I wanted to bring up. So here's the deal. I'm a grown up and I'm on Xbox Live. And every so often, some little squeaker will say something to me. And my favorite comeback is, you know, you're a very rude young lady because they haven't hit puberty yet. And it'll get the whole lobby laughing, and with that, the battle is won. But my question, and I'm hoping Kyle can help here, what's a good comeback for a 13-year-old? If someone gives this poor guy a hard time and he wants to have a comeback, what can he say?
Who's picking on him?
Other people in the Xbox Live lobby. And I don't know what it's for, going negative or whatever, but they say something to this kid. Oh, I know what it was. He was trying to work as a team. You know, something like, oh, there's a guy at the B-Dom tank on Invasion, and then they harass him. They harass him for just talking with a squeaky voice. What's your comeback? Anyone?
I'm gonna have a hard time defending that guy, because first of all, he's 13. He shouldn't be playing the game anyway.
I got it for you. My nuts haven't dropped at 13, but yours hadn't dropped at 18. What you got to say about that?
That's not bad.
No. All right, look, no, but seriously, if you're 13, you're playing a game that you got to be 17 years old to buy. Your parents shouldn't be letting you play the game anyway, but if they knew anything about what Xbox Live is about, they wouldn't, unless they're just shitheads.
Can I interrupt
Xbox Live is full of 18-year-old douchebags.
Another one of my standard comebacks is, do you know how I know your parents don't love you? Because you're playing this game with me.
I like that one. I'm going to use that one.
But, so
welcome,
I hear where you're coming
shines,
from,
bitch.
But this guy's one of our subs. He's on our side. So, Sandy, are you any good at this? Like, I don't know how to win an argument with,
I'm good at making fun of them, but, they never
exactly.
come back with anything. I like to ask them if their dad touches them where it hurts, but, that's... Totally
and get the second knuckle in, buddy.
So, you're a bad person. So, Wing so far has, my nuts haven't dropped at 13, yours haven't dropped at 18. What you got to say about that? Is that the best we can offer this guy?
What
he
really
not much
to
say.
What he really needs to do is go to HuffItGaming.com and get on sharing gamer tags so he's not playing with mean people.
That would help. That would do it. That's another thing. Now when some guy says something ridiculous, or maybe even a witty your mom joke, the fact that half the lobby is my friends, you can't win. You know, they're not on his side. That's just the end of the story. So that would probably help him a lot.
Tell you what, half the lobby hates me when I join a game. I don't get it. Like, half the lobby will like me, and the rest just yell at me the whole time.
Is
half the lobby follow you.
Your team that likes
you
and
the
other team that hates you? Is that what it could be?
Like, people on my own team, you suck, Sandy, blah, blah. Oh. I don't get it. I don't even make commentaries.
That's just haters, dude. Anytime you seem to project yourself better than them, they gotta break you down to make them feel better about themselves.
It's crazy.
I had a coworker who compared me to Obama. And, you know, regardless of where your political affiliations fall, he's like, you know, Obama's out there. In his mind, Obama's good. And he's like, Obama's out there trying to do something. He's trying to get health care. He's trying to help people. And just by virtue of the fact that he's in the public eye, he's gathered a lot of haters. Well, that's where you are too, right? And the things I do with my channel are mostly helping people play better and helping people play the game better Every so often I do a commentary that's trying to be funny where I sing or tell Onslaught I'm his daddy. And
yeah, but you still get bombarded with your camper, Woody.
I don't really get bombarded with that particular one because I'm usually playing the objective. Usually, if I post a video, I want it to be undeniable that I have the objective in mind and I talk about it in the commentary. But I still get haters. I still get possibly a guy that attacked our podcast. I still get people hacking the Sharing Gamertag site. I still get, you know, haters out there, and it's, I haven't given them any fuel as far as I know. But if you're in the public eye, they will find you.
I'm gonna go see Anders here. People seem to be unintelligent. Like I got invited to Xbox Live group today. Watch, I joined the live group just to scream at them because I got tired of seeing friend request shit pop up. But I started talking to them. What?
That's not how you handle them. But go on. I joined their party just to scream at them because I didn't want to see the notifications. I would never do that.
I was just mad. I just wanted a vent. I'm a creature of emotion.
If you go in there, a lot of times they're too afraid to even talk to you anyway.
They never talk.
Yeah, they'll invite you to the chat and then they don't say a word.
Really? I've never joined one.
But I go in to calmly talk to them, you know, to see like what they're yelling about. No one says a word and they just leave.
And I go in this thing, the first thing goes, "What you doing, fat camper?"
Oh, nice.
You should be like, "Camping and eating ice cream. What are you doing?"
I'm like, dude, do you even know how to play Modern Warfare 2? Yeah, I run around quickscoping. I'm like, how much success does that bring you?
Yeah.
None. This is being honest.
There are very few people who can consistently pull off good quickscoping games.
The worst is I'm trying to play Domination. There's people doing 720s in spawn trying to hit a no-scope across the map. What's the point?
The fact is, he started talking about quickscoping and how he's a beast at it. So I go, "What's your KD?" He goes, 1.4. I'm like, "All right, let's say we all have 20 kills, and we're based off our KDs. All right, you being 1.4, you have 20 kills, but you have 16 deaths. That's what 1.4 is about. All right, I have a 3.03 KD, so if I had 20 kills, I got 6 deaths. Which person would you rather have on your team?"
You asking me?
I
don't want any quickscoper. I don't care how good the quickscoper is. I don't want him on my team.
Really?
I don't either.
How good they are. You don't want them on your team.
No.
Because even the best quickscoper,
they miss
30 and 15.
You're going to miss when the guy's capping the flag and they're prone. You're going to miss them. They're going to cap the flag and that's it. You lose. I don't need that. But then if you use a 3-shot burst, you know, overpowered, yada, yada.
You try to tell me the UMP-45s are a problem. Hell no, it isn't. It's like a subpar assault rifle.
Toward the end, COD 4 got here, too. People were like, "You can't use the AK, it's a new gun. You can't use the M16, it's a new gun. You can't use the MP5.
Can't use anything."
Yeah, it went on that.
Like, what was wrong with AK-74U? Raped just as much as MP5, but you were allowed to use it. You know, that wasn't...
And even that, some guys would fuss about. You know, people fussed about almost every. The RPD was a new gun.
Every single gun is easy to use, besides probably the F2000.
So Modern Warfare, I see, headed the same way. You can't use the UMP-45. You can't use the TAR. You can't.
Every video, you get the.
I see Modern Warfare 2. So far, Modern Warfare 2 is the most perfectly weapon balanced.
Because every gun is overpowered, but you can't even call them overpowered. Every gun is easy to use. You know, nothing.
Everyone has a laser.
I think the F2000 is the most handicapped.
Yes,
like,
it is.
I've talked about it before. All assault rifles should handle like the F2000. They should be good at medium range and shit at long range.
But then a gun like the ACR, you go full auto. That thing's keeping a 1-inch grouping across the map to infinity. So
I wish I had that kind of accuracy full auto.
I mean, the FAMAS, like, I go back and forth between COD 4 and Modern Warfare 2 most days. Like, I'll play a couple hours of COD 4, a couple hours of Modern Warfare 2 sometimes. And the M16 in COD 4, I was playing today, and I just playing on a countdown. I think it went like 50 and 7 or something. And I was thinking to myself, like, if I had a FAMAS, I'd have went 75 and 3. Cause I'm having a 3-4 burst some of these people if they're across the map. The FAMAS would be 1 burst in them.
I do like the FAMAS more than a Call of Duty 4 M16, which was like the ultimate gun. It shoots faster.
It's got that smaller red dot. It's so precise.
It's great. I love that gun.
I don't know. I'm just hoping Black Ops takes the good things from Call of Duty 4, the good things from World at War, mixes them together and makes
them
good.
They got an easy job. I mean,
I know, right?
Modern Warfare 2 was a huge beta test.
Yes.
Make a good game based off it.
If you removed the explosives and the death streaks and the
game is amazing.
Commando, then you'd have a really, really good game.
Private matches.
I was going to say, it's hands down better than COD 4.
You guys are skipping over the spawn system.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
It bothers me badly because I play free for all. The spawn system's horrible in Modern Warfare 2.
Wait. I'm going to agree. In free for all, I think you just kind of accept that you just spawns are.
They're going to be everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, people complain about you camping in free-for-all, but you can't move in free-for-all.
Right.
A guy, and you run to his spot, he's shooting you in the back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand why they complain about camping in free-for-all, because it's not like, the reason you keep moving in Team Deathmatch or Domination is because the enemy spawn is over there. It's across the map. We got to go over there and get to it. In free-for-all, it's 20 feet to your left, 20 feet to your right, 20 feet in front of you, and 20 feet behind you. Just spin in circles. You're in the spawn.
I'll take that back. I'll take it a step further. To me, camping in TDM and in free-for-all is not that big of a deal. The big deal to me is when guys aren't playing to win. You know, it whatever style you employ in an effort to rack up wins is okay with me. I watch Onslaught play, and he'll defend a bomb, but he doesn't usually do it while standing on the bomb. He does it from, 75 yards away. And, he sits there with his FRAMAS and defends the bomb just as effectively as somebody with a SPA sitting on top of it would be. Probably more effectively because he builds kill streaks.
Exactly.
You call that camping?
Camping and defending are often the same things. For example, capture the flag on Favela. If you're defending that flag that's on top of the map, I don't know which spawn that is, the one that's on top of the map.
Hey.
You've got to get in that trench back there and just wait. There's nothing else you can do. You just sit there and wait for them to come.
The crack house is the best place to defend that flag, I think. That's me anyway. Unless they have noob tubes, then what do you do?
Or RPGs up your bitch ass.
Yeah, they just insta-death that whole room, and then, that to me is where Modern Warfare 2 is the most frustrating. Deaths that were unavoidable. They just decide you should be dead.
Noob tubes were in Call of Duty 4. The main problem is the one-man army, I believe.
Exactly.
Now, in Call of Duty 4, would you get three noob tubes?
Two. Yeah, two noob
tubes. But if you ran the overkill class, you get three.
You could get four, right?
You get four. All right.
But that wasn't
That's
common,
not one-man army.
One-man
army.
Power.
20.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if y'all agree with this, but COD 4, the noob tubes were weaker.
I think they're the same.
I think Danger Close wasn't as powerful.
Oh, Sonic Boom, yeah.
It wasn't. Danger Close is more powerful than Sonic Boom.
Yeah, it seems like I'm getting killed from 15 feet away. So
I'm just straight out the gate.
Got a new topic.
All right.
Are friendships an important aspect of the YouTube scene? And I thought this would be a cool one for Sandy because, I'm fairly social. And I know a lot of the guys on YouTube. But either Sandy travels in different circles than me, or he just doesn't hang out with other YouTube commentators.
I would be the definition of a lone wolf.
Uh-huh.
I play with my friends. That's really, real life friends. I have commentators on my friends list, but I really don't play with them. So, I could see the benefit of it, but I never really got around to it.
I think we touched on this with Blame Truth, because when we talked about once you get to a certain level of popularity, you can't get friends anymore. Everybody wants something.
I bet Sandy sees that too. When somebody new wants to be on your friends list, don't you often feel like it's not a balanced relationship?
Yeah, everyone tries to get on the friends list. I don't see the appeal. I don't really get it. I tell them all the same thing. It's real life friends only. I got 16 friends on my friends list. I don't have 100 friends on it. So I deny everyone.
It's annoying too, because I have 30 friends slot open, and every time I log on my Xbox or PS3, PS3 is worse because I got 80 open on PS3. I have to go around and decline all of them just so I can, have get to my actual friends somewhat fast to invite them to games or send them messages.
Yeah, PlayStation 3, you can't just start. You can't just hit up and start from the bottom. You got to scroll through a million of those messages. That's bad.
I don't know why they send you the friend request. I think we've all said it multiple times in many commentaries and collaborative endeavors that we don't accept them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like knowing other YouTube guys, and I don't know. They go through the same thing. They have haters. I remember one day I was getting hated on a lot. I talked to Power Puncher. I was like, does it ever bug you? Because he was getting hated on after one of his podcasts. I was, commiserating, talking it out with him. It's nice to have, other people who are doing the same thing and working through it.
What I don't enjoy is the whole drama scene going on. It's always sides and camps, and I don't do any of that. I'll play with
that
anyone.
Whenever I can. Sometimes it seeks me out, but for the most part, I don't have any drama. I avoid it.
I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So you guys going to be buying PSN Plus?
Yeah, I am.
What are the benefits?
I'm looking at it right now. I just turned my PS3 on.
Oh.
While you're looking at that, I just wanted to say in the podcast, I ordered about 2 hours ago something called a cross battle adapter, I believe. Basically, it lets you use your Xbox controller on your PlayStation 3. And I guess that would, if some of you guys are thinking about, getting a PS3 to play some of the PS3 exclusives, that would be a really good thing for you guys to get. On eBay, it's like $35. I think normally it's more like $75 or $80, but I found a pretty good deal on it.
Yeah, just add a little note to that. The PlayStation 3 Slim requires the, it's like pink or purple one, XCM battle adapter or something.
Yeah, so, make sure you read the specs.
The cheaper one is, it's way cheaper, but it doesn't work for PS3 Slim.
This is probably the longest podcast we've done.
Blanchard went 2 hours.
Yeah. So we should probably cut here.
Yeah. But
Sandy, thanks for coming on. Appreciate having
you. No problem.
Very good.
So, Ben Painkiller Already, episode 11.
Later.